In Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I love that, beseech you that you walk worthily of the vocation wherewith you are called. And we were having a prayer meeting yesterday, men's prayer meeting, and one guy asked, he said, well, what am I called to? And how that come up, I said, well, because the last week it was just kind of like the Lord showed me throughout my life what I was called to, you know, and that's why you ended up where you were at, because you were called to it. And when he asked that question, you know, he had bought a coffee pot for the men's prayer meeting or for any other meeting. And I said, well, you did good there. Maybe you got a coffee pot ministry. I don't know. But you know what? It was pretty powerful. He beseech you as a prisoner. And, you know, he had mentioned this about five different times. I said, if you're going to do it, do it. I didn't even encourage him. In fact, I was not a very much of an encouragement. But he got the thing done, and I was pretty happy because it was a good thing. And then with all lowliness and meekness, maybe that was my problem, to encourage him. I didn't go with the lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I was just thinking about Community Church International, United Team International. That's the call that we've been called to. And that's the heart that we've been called to. And I just really feel like in 2021, with all the stuff that has swirled around us, that I believe that God is going to bring us to unified force on the earth, not only in Community Church, but on the earth. And I was thinking of our connection with Houston and those areas down there. Of course, I'm probably a little selfish because I'm going fishing down there pretty soon. I said, I have to make up for lost time. But you know, it's funny how God can unite. Yeah, you may be seated. How God can unite us together, how we can encourage one another, and how we can probably come alongside each other and encourage each other. Like this brother, really what he was saying is, what I got to do with the big picture. And then we started talking about a lot of the stuff that we had done over the years and how many people had kind of connected with that. I shouldn't say kind of connected with it. They were in the dust storms of Mexico, and young people, seventh, eighth grade, had bought boots to pour concrete. And the first pour that we had, there was a Diablo wind that came up. It was a devil wind come up, and it blew probably for two and a half hours, right when we were pouring. And you know, you kind of like nice sunshiny days or a little cooler type deal. But this thing come in and 10 trucks showed up at the same time. That does not usually happen. In fact, I think that's the only time it ever happened. And so we had plenty of people. It was just that they didn't know the slightest thing what they were doing. And we were trying to cover this thing, and you could imagine we're pouring concrete, and these kids were grabbing these canvases that were pretty big, and the wind was blowing so much that they literally come off the ground. Had good arm strength, but they weren't quite ready to fly. And I was just thinking the unity that we showed at that time, because we didn't have any choice. You know, there was no choice in unity. We're going to fight, and we're going to win or we're going to not fight, we're going to lose. And you know what? The fight was worth it. God came in, and of course we had people praying all over the place. God came in, and everything becomes silent. We had this much dirt on top of the concrete. So you could imagine, like, this floor right here is concrete. This much dirt on top of concrete that hadn't been finished. And it wasn't a real pretty job, us pouring it either. I mean, we got it down under action. We had some tools that were not supposed to be doing what we were doing, but it was working pretty good. And we literally raked the dirt off the top of the concrete. Now this is a spiritual story. I mean, we're building a missionary station in Guadalupe, Mexico. And you know what? God was with us. And that unified us together. And we were there. I mean, we spent just on these trips, probably $25,000, because we were paying the concrete and people were taking off work and different things like that. Come on now. You see, unless it affects us in the natural, it never affects us in the spiritual. Unless we experience something about God, it's kind of like when the evangelist comes, he preaches the gospel, and we go forward because it's affected us in the natural. We know where we're at. We know what's going on. And at that time, we did too. And you know, the God of heaven and earth, even if the name of the winds were Diablo winds, didn't make any difference. God took over the devil winds. Shut it down, started it up again, and it was fantastic. And I had a lot of relatives. I had my nieces on there. They were 7th, 8th graders. And I don't know why we took them along, except I guess it was a mission trip, and they certainly had their time of missionary concrete work. But endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you have been called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And really, that's kind of what God he's been trying to do that in everyone's life. As soon as they were born, he was trying to do that, to bring us all into who he was, what he was doing, how he was fashioning and doing the work. And this didn't happen. And the many people that have stood up here in the past, they're probably not attending the church anymore. But we were talking about how many people did we lose? And we were talking about Bible college. How many people did we lose? And the only, there was one person, that's what we were just talking at prayer meeting, one person. And I don't believe we lost them. It was a little bit on the ugly side, and I don't know what all happened there. But you know what? God is faithful. God is true. And if we will study the Word, if we will encourage one another to go on with the faith that God has given us, we will become one community church. We'll become one United Team International church throughout the earth. And I believe that in 2021, God is doing something in the hearts and lives of the nations, of this nation, of the nations of the world. And it's not going to bring us into, you know, like, we're always wanting, well, let's have revivals. So we start the band and we dance a little bit. But this thing is going to be much deeper. It's going to be the depth of God's heart towards people that need the Lord. And of course, we all do. There's a lot of them out there that have not received Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. I believe that it's going to be a year, 2 years of tremendous salvation. I mean, I'm talking salvation that once you drop the name will go and they will be saved by the name of Jesus Christ. So I'm excited about that in Jesus' name. We have an opportunity to sow into the kingdom of God with our tithes and offerings. And I appreciate all of the faithfulness that you continue to do in this house. Really see a growth, not only spiritual, but probably more natural. And I've just been watching people, the time and the effort that you've spent in your gifting and your calling, I believe that is going to pay off in these next 2 years. And so I just encourage you to be that witness in the days ahead. Amen. So if you're making out a check for this offering, you can make it payable to the community church. God bless you in your giving. Father, right now we ask, Lord, in this time, springtime, God, the summer will be a year that no one could ever believe. God, that the finances would come and we would see things that were mind-blowing in it. We give you the glory and the honor for it now in Jesus' name. God bless you, young girl. All right. Hallelujah. Do we have something going with Jeremy? Everything's good. All right. Well, praise the Lord. You know what? We've had a lot of people sharing, maybe over the last month and a half, 2 months. I appreciate them so very much. Don't think that you're going to get away any farther than this microphone or this place, because what you've done is just built the house that you've built for years. So that's good. Singers continue to sing. Preachers continue to preach. If you got a singing and preaching ministry on you, continue to do that. Hallelujah. We have kids. Apparently, you're off and running. Listen to your instructors. They'll be a real blessing to you. All right. Love you, Linda. Yeah. Well, we have a international ministry team with us. It's David, Diane, Lyon, and I think David's going to take it today by the grace that Diane gave him that he could actually share. Just kidding. David, would you come? And he has the word of God. Let's give him a thank offering. Hi there, buddy. How you doing? All right. Oh, yeah.
You know, Pastor Jake, when you were talking about revival, and you know what the prophets are saying, is a great awakening coming. We talked about that. And how it's even now, you know how God's so good. I encourage you guys to jump in. We were in Grand Forks yesterday, and every place we went, people were open. It was like God was opening the doors to their hearts. We were able to share the Lord. It just was amazing. I mean, it was unusual. And so, waiters, and so I encourage you, yeah, just step out and just be careful when you go to the highways, when you go to Walmart, when you go wherever you go, because God's softening hearts. There's a supernatural thing going on, and people are more open than ever because of the hopelessness that is out there in the world. We have that answer, so. Anyway, just encouraging. We were so blessed yesterday by one girl was just, I mean, we went extensive, you know, talking about what is my calling. I feel like I should be a math teacher. Well, I maybe should be called to the ministry. She was hungry, and she was asking us, and scriptures were just coming out of us, and she was like all ears. So it was just very encouraging to walk in that.
That was awesome. Pastor, did you want me to touch base on just that prophetic word last week and just summarize it real quick? Okay. Okay. Pastor Jake and I were talking this week, and last weekend, for those of you that were here, and most of you were, there was a prophetic word given. So I just wanted to sort of, I guess you could say, the Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, and there's a big difference between the word of knowledge and prophecy and the gift of the prophet and everything. So basically what we want to do is just summarize last week. Before we start actually today's message, this is just sort of a, I guess, an hors d'oeuvre before the meal, I guess. We'll look at it like that, you know. But last week it was Easter Sunday, and the Lord had mentioned in a prophetic utterance that he's established contact points for people to release their faith. It's a spiritual principle. We know of the laying on of hands. We know the Bible mentions aprons or napkins or cloths being brought to individuals so that demonic spirits and healing, demonic spirits would leave, healing would come. The anointing with oil. So the Lord has established certain processes to meet with us and meet with our faith. And so one of the other things is in the Old Testament, there was the Day of Atonement. There is different Jewish holidays, different what the Bible would call kairos moments or divine appointment times for God to do things amongst his people. So basically what I sensed the Lord was saying last week, and I shared that, was that Easter was a time of resurrection, that we celebrate resurrection. And a lot of us have allowed things to die inside of us. Maybe it might be whatever. The Holy Spirit, when I said that, he'll probably quicken it to you what it is. And so Lord was saying it was a day that things could be resurrected. It was a time to meet with him. And the thing is, the promises of God were given to us over 2,000 years ago, Old Testament even longer, but they're still applicable to us today when we release our faith in them. So the things that were dead inside of us that could be resurrected, it didn't have to. You didn't miss an opportunity last week. That was an opportunity to jump in. But you can jump into the promises of God at any time with your faith. And so what was shared last week, it's a time for dead things to become alive and be resurrected inside of you. Okay, boy, I missed last week. I guess I missed mom. No, you can have that reality today if you'll just press in and say, okay, God, it's like the laying on of hands. It's a contact point. You gave us a contact point there. But anytime I want to release my faith in your word, that's where we can contact my need and your provision and get the job done. So that's basically summarizes that, okay? Let's stand to our feet because we'll do something different today. I'll preach sitting down and you'll stand the whole time. No, I'm only teasing. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of life that lives inside of us. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens our mortal bodies. Our minds are alert. Our bodies are energized. They're being healed even in your presence, Lord God. You said that you bless your beloved even while they sleep. So even while we're here, our needs are being met. We're going to go home and see your blessings, Father. We thank you. We thank you for what you're going to do through your word today in our lives, in Jesus' name. Why don't you turn to someone and say, something good's about to happen to you today. Amen. You can be seated. Today is a little different. We have to realize that as a church body, we probably minister to more people outside of these walls when we gather than when we gather. And I just have to say, Pastor, I see, wow. You know, every time I look back at these walls, I keep seeing, and I'm not saying we have to do this. I'm just telling you what I see. Because the Bible says that we should declare things. And we have to get out of our natural minds. You see, everybody wants to be normal, but nobody wants to be average. How does that work? So the only way I can think of be normal in God's eyes is don't be average like everybody else. But, you know, I see 70-inch TVs and Zoom meetings, and I see congregations, not just people, congregations from other countries coming into the services and joining us. Because a lot of these countries, they don't get this word. You think it's like this everywhere. It's not. I've traveled enough within this country and without this country to realize sometimes we can come to a place and just take it for granted. And we think every place gets the word of God so strong or the Spirit of God so strong. It's not true. Some places don't even have a minister, and they gather around and they listen to tapes or whatever it is. Some countries, they have to do it hiding because it's against the law. But I think God's going to give us an opportunity. You know, when the Bible says go into all the world, they said that to the Apostle Paul and Peter and everybody as well. They jumped on a ship and off they went. Well, you know, ships take a long time. So thank God for airplanes. Well, we can do that. But the Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel. Some translations say publish, meaning the printed word, and out it goes. And so we know tracts and books, they can outlive us. They can go to places we can't go more than once. But you know, God's always developing technology, and the devil wants to tweak it and twist it. But it doesn't mean it's bad. It just means it got into some bad hands. We can go into all the world now through the airwaves, radio. Now it's internet. And not only can we go into all the world, the message can go all the world, but all the world can come here too. Isn't that wonderful how God does that? So I'm excited about the days ahead. I'm very excited about the days ahead. Basically, what we're starting to do is step into our potential. And that's what I want to speak to you today about, is potential. Potential. The Lord has put that upon my heart. It took me a long time to begin to recognize maybe what the Lord wanted me to do. And it's tough if you have a degree of apostolic about you because, see, a lot of times pastors are like a butter knife. And then you have the teacher who's like a steak knife. He can just cut up real close to the Word of God. And then you have just these different... But, you know, an apostolic gift is like a Swiss Army knife. It's got a little bit of everything in there. Sometimes you have an anointing to teach. Sometimes you have an anointing to prophesy. You have an anointing to declare. And you have to be sensitive to it. The Spirit of the Lord is moving on you with your anointing at that time. And then he brings other people in, and Pastor does such a good job of this, Apostle Jake, because he says, well, sometimes we need a pastor heart, sometimes we need a teacher heart, and he'll bring in the different ministry gifts, and the Bible says that we're perfected through the exposure to these gifts. So if we just have one gift all the time, you know, I like certain foods, but I don't want to eat them all the time, you know? So he's wisely... leading the church by the Spirit of the Lord with his gifting. And I thank you for the opportunity to share today. So I just read something the other day and I thought, are you kidding me? It said, the deeper you're calling to a certain area, the harder it'll be to discern. And I thought to myself, are you kidding me? It should be the easier to discern. But sometimes you have so much opposition in that area where you're trying to break through and step into what God would have you to. You think, how could this be God? Because it seems every time I go that way, it just gets slammed. But Paul said he was buffeted. He was stopped. Everywhere he went to preach, somebody was bad-mouthing him and trying to destroy his character and everything else. So he could have turned around and said, hey, are you sure? Because it seems like I'm not having much success in this area. But that's okay. So anyway, let's get on and look at potential. The most valuable resource is your own undeveloped potential. That is your most valuable resource that you have right now, is your own undeveloped potential. Have you ever wondered why you were born? Pastor sort of spoke on this today. Why you were born? Why are you here in history at this time? Why Thief River Falls? Why America? Why the year 2021? You ever thought of what you were truly capable of? Yeah, I'd be champ of the world if everybody quit knocking me out. Well, yeah, you know, what are you truly capable of given the opportunity? Are you being all you potentially could be? Are you doing all you potentially could be doing? What gives your life, what gives your life a sense of meaning? Like, what gives your life a sense of meaning? See, a lot of us, tomorrow, Monday will come, and you know, we're the only species that has a pre-programmed time for heart attacks and strokes. It's usually Monday morning around 9 o'clock. Seriously, statistics show the majority of strokes and heart attacks take place Monday morning around 9 o'clock. Do you think people are really looking forward to going to their jobs when they're stroking out and having heart attacks on the way? Something's wrong there, I think, and people may be not in their gift. But you know, animals don't have that, but we've got it down pretty pat. So what gives your life a sense of meaning and purpose? You know, most human beings are living at only about 40% of their true capacity. That's really sad. That 80% of the world's population wake up to go to a job they're not passionate about. And do you know that the main reason people lose their passion is because they've lost sight of their purpose? When we lose sight of our purpose, we begin to lose our passion. Has that happened to anybody? I'll be honest, it's happened to me. Thank God when he begins to roll back some of the gray clouds. And, you know, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to do a different thing in your life, unlike anything I've ever done. Well, I've known a certain way for 20 or 30 years. So I have a hard time trying to recognize what he's doing new because I've never seen it before. And this whole internet stuff and all this other stuff, it's easy as Jeremy. But I mean, I'm glad when I can turn a light switch on most of the time. And so it's just, but then God brings people into your life and it begins to put things together. Why do you wake up every day? And the next question is, how do you wake up every day? Is it good God? Or is it, hello God, good day, you know? How do you wake up? Why do you wake up? And how do you wake up? Do you sense there's more? More to you? More to your life? More to your business? More to your job? Do you sense there's more to your church if you're a priest, a pastor, a minister? You sense there's more? Does anybody have that sense that there's just gotta be more? John Kilpatrick, in the revival down in Pensacola, he would come into the church. He would talk about this. He'd come into the church and just begin to pray. He'd walk around. And he'd say, God, there's got to be more. He had a big church. He had a lot going on. But there was something inside of him that said, there's got to be more. Does anybody ever feel like maybe there's got to be more to just getting up and putting in your 8 hours and then getting your paycheck? Got to be more to just running home, giving your wife a peck on the cheek and, well, you know, and happy day. There's got to be more. Does anybody feel like there's got to be, there's more that you're crying out for inside? One of us anyways. Thank you for that hand. Yeah. You know, maybe you can relate. It's sort of like being that blind dog in a meat house. I can sense it. I can't see it, but I can sense it. There's got to be more. And you know what? We need to get like a blind dog in a meat house sometime where we just say, you know what? I can sense it. I may not be able to see it, but I can sense it. And I'm not going anywhere because from what I smell, it's about ready to happen. And I just got to keep sniffing around and I'm going to get my jaws around that thing and I'm going to bite into it and ain't letting go. What'd you get out of church today? I don't know. Something about a blind dog in a meat house, he said, you know. The truth is, You were made for more. You were made to soar, to rise above the mediocrity of the masses, to press past your present state of existence. You were created to dream, to dare, to do, to be, to see a new and a higher you. That's what you were created for. The Apostle Paul says, it does not yet appear what we shall be. Have you ever seen yourself doing something within the realm of your imagination? You know, we get wrecked as we get older sometimes. Little kids are great with their imaginations. My little grandson was looking at me the other day and pointed to my head and he says, egg. I thought, well, he's using his imagination because I know this is not an egg. But you know, children have this wonderful imagination. And God doesn't want us to lose a sanctified imagination unto him. And that's why sometimes he visits you in dreams, because he gets you out of your adult brain and he can come start trying to give you a glimpse of coming attractions for your life. He's trying to provide you with a glimpse to your future and to your potential. And many people disregard these moments, but these can in reality be a glimpse into coming attractions. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will show us things to come. Well, how is he going to do that? Unless maybe in times of prayer you see something or use your imagination. Well, how do I know it's me and not God? Well, is it glorified God? Then it's not from the devil. And the other thing is, too, the Holy Ghost is called the Holy Ghost for a reason. He will haunt you. He will stay on you about something. So if it's just you, you probably forget it. If it's the Holy Ghost, he'll just keep on you about it, you know. Well, how can we begin to discover our potential if we're not able to even identify our purpose? How can we begin to live our potential if we can't even begin to identify our purpose? Well, it's fairly easy. There's a number of things. That's a whole new message. How to find your purpose and then how to fulfill your purpose. Two different messages. We could get to them sometime. But one of them is just, I'll give you a few things real quick. What do you love? What do you think about? What do you hate? Where do you spend your money? Is there something you love? Because where your heart is, there's your treasure. That's pretty quick, you know. What do you talk about? I spent the majority of my life studying the subject of potential. You know, most kids, when they're little, they get their little plastic army men, and they line them up, and they play, and boom, boom, they fall down. But my folks, this is before internet and everything else like this, they had this little tape recorder. It was pretty modern. It was a cassette. And you could record things in there. So I like to play with my little knights and things like this, you know? So I thought, let's do this right. So I took the tape recorder and I went over to the silverware door and I rattled them and rattled them and rattled them, and then I tape recorded it. Then I ruined all my folks' steak knives by cutting up all these boxes and making castles. And then I guess I must have busted somebody's necklace by making chains for the door drawbridge and everything else like this. But then when I would get ready to play, I had the background noise of everybody fighting. I thought, when I look back on that, that was a little high level for a kid. I've been interested in potential. When I played football, I didn't want to just get out there and win. I wanted to dominate. I wanted them to never want to play the game again. I didn't want to injure anyone, but I wanted to hurt them all the time. You know, there's a big difference, especially if you're a linebacker. And so quarterbacks, they're different. You know, they wear dresses. But anyways, you know. But, you know, during that time, I've earned a doctorate in what I call higher thought. Some call it philosophy. And, you know, I look at it as Christians, we have higher thought. The Lord even said, come up higher, you know, and we're to think different. You know who you really are? What the Bible says about you. Had a goofy doctor the other day. Did you get your vaccine yet? No. Well, how come? Because I can't catch COVID. What do you mean? I says, well, I'm not chasing it. You know, and they sort of look at you like, you know. And I was like, hey, this is the way I see it. If you want to do it, Christian or non-Christian, God bless you. I'm not against it. That's where your conscience is at. Awesome, great, I stand behind you. If you don't, awesome, good, I stand behind you. You know, I told her, she says, well, you could die. I says, we're all going to die someday. I'm more interested in not living while I'm alive. But anyway, that's just me. I'm sort of old school. And so as we go on, you know, I've had a few years of helping folks and watching potential in ministers and Christians and Bible school students and raising kids, and, you know, it's nice to get a little older and still, you know, be able to know your own name and remember some things, you know, so I'm grateful for that. But I haven't forgot some things that I've learned. Sadly, in North America, though, we're not very respectful with respect to some of our seniors and what they've learned, as in perhaps Middle Eastern countries or in the Orient or in other South America countries. But there's a lot more respect, even though, like my old martial arts instructor, he can't do the things he used to do, but he sure knows a lot more than he used to. And he passes that on to people. Well, they say, well, you can't do a triple flying kick or whatever. Who cares? I'm like twice your age. Why should I? You know? But I can teach you how to do it. And so we've sort of somehow lost that even in the church somehow. And we've got to remember that the Bible talks about the gray hairs for a reason. I tell people, you know, I skipped right through the gray hair and went straight to no hair. And I asked my son once, I says, hey, if gray hair is a sign of wisdom, would bald head be a sign of genius? He goes, no, Dad, no, not at all. And I said, you know, tried. But, you know, I've discovered a few things, and I'm going to just share a few of them with you in part. Everything God created, and you may not believe in a creator. You might be out there listening to this, so I don't believe in a creator. That's okay, because he believes in you. He created you. But everything was created. It was made to reach its highest potential. Everything that was created was made to reach its highest potential. You see redwood trees? They're pretty big. You see bamboo. You see plants, animals. You put a certain fish in certain ponds, they'll only get so big. You put them in a bigger pond, all of a sudden they'll start growing again. You don't ever see a tree halfway through its growth and say, I'm done. It was made to reach its potential. Man is the only species that can decide when it doesn't want to go any further. Where it draws the line, where its comfort zone is, where its compromise is at, where its pain threshold is at. So, given the right elements of dirt and water and sun, things will grow. I've got this old avocado seed in my pocket, and I knew someday I'd be ministering this message. Didn't know when. And I've kept this seed around. Well, the interesting thing is I kept this seed because that's basically how everything starts. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, the seed is in itself. And this thing fell and broke. But what's that right in the middle? It almost looks like a seed inside of a seed. And that would just sort of prove that the Bible, once again, is correct, that the seed is in itself. So, why is that important? Because it once again establishes God's word is true. Just through a little seed. But everything usually starts off small and grows from there. The trouble is most of us want to start off big. And you know, we're sort of getting a fresh start here as a church. But it's the momentum. It's there. I can sense it. I can feel it. And you know, some people think that there are secrets to success, but there's no secrets to success. There's principles that govern success, and even a system to success is really just a matter of learning to combine the right elements at the right time in order to maximize your individual and even organizational potential. Amazingly, many people in organizations do not grasp the fact that dreams without goals are just dreams. Well, I want to lose weight. What's your plan? What's your goal? To lose weight. Well, that's a dream. But without a goal, see, I want to lose weight, but I decided I can't lose 30 or 40 pounds all at once, so I'm going to lose 5 pounds. That's my first goal. And then after that, 25 pounds is way too much, but I'll lose five. So I've got a bunch of five-pound goals. So far, so good. My pinstripe suit isn't down to one stripe yet, but I'm getting there. And as wonderful as goals are and as helpful as goals are, goals without an action plan are like faith without works. They're dead being alone. See, you want to accomplish something, you have to have some degree of action plan with that. I'll say that again. As wonderful as goals are, and as helpful as goals are, goals without an action plan are like faith without works. They're dead being alone. And part of that, you can put together an action plan by just backward planning. If I want this to happen, well, good example. We'll just use this real quick. Not that this is the case here. Pastor might say, I envision us having busloads of kids bust in for Sunday. Well, how's that going to happen without a bus? Oh, I guess we'll need a bus. Well, what's it going to take to get a bus? Oh, I guess money. Great, you got the money because you have a vision, there's provision. So who's going to drive it? Oh, I never thought of that. Well, I guess we'll need to get people trained to drive a bus. Do we have any present people that have their license? Yep, well, let's start with them. But it starts going back to taking that first offering towards the bus and looking for those first bus drivers. But you decide what you are going to need at the end, and you backward plan right from where you're at, and then you just follow it backwards. It sounds more difficult than it is. Okay, here's the next thing I want to share with you. Never weigh yourself on a Monday. That's out of the blue. What do you mean by that? Well, we're talking about potential. And it was interesting because I went and stood on a scale on a Monday, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, never weigh yourself on a Monday. And I knew it wasn't about the weight, although that was really smart. But I said, okay, that was profound, so I'm just sharing with you. But what do I mean by that? Well, like I said, never weigh yourself on a Monday, because you were probably underachieving in your dietary objectives all weekend, right? And due to perhaps any number of reasons we could discuss at length in the future that hold people back from reaching their objective, but what it translates into is this. Never assess your own potential based upon any of your past or present or future failures. It doesn't matter what you were. It doesn't matter what you failed at. That's then. Doesn't matter what you feel like you're failing at. And even in the future, it doesn't matter. Don't judge your potential on a Monday. Don't judge your potential on a fat day. Don't judge your potential after a failure. Never assess your own potential based on this, because failures are important to your success. Thomas Edison, anybody know how many times he failed before he found the right ingredient and presented to us the light bulb? 10,000. You know, me, I probably would have given up after 9,590, you know. But, you know, he didn't know any better. Wow, there's a guy that, and then he said, I just found 10,000 ways that didn't work. See, it was all important to the final product. So what have you learned in your, see, it's not a failure if you learn from it. It's the tuition you pay in the school of life to get the knowledge that you need. Reggie Jackson held Major League Baseball record for home runs, but you know he also had the most strikeouts? A guy by the name of Michael Jordan. Some of the young kids probably don't even know who he is anymore, which time is ticking. But Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team, and he cried. Does he look like he can't play basketball? Or did he? You know, all of these things, stumbling blocks become stepping stones. It's the attitude that you look at it with. You'll have to learn to institute mind management in order to view your life's failures properly, because if you don't, it'll be like weighing yourself on a Monday, and that's never very encouraging. Now, you said, well, yeah, mind management, that's one of them new age terms. You know what? I remember getting an argument one time with a Christian because I was told it was the law of sowing and reaping. And she called it the law of reciprocity. No, no, it's not a tomato, it's a tomato. No, not a tomato, tomato. We're both calling it the same thing, but I was too stupid to know the difference. And so, there, you know, we didn't get along too good. Well, mind management is basically the same as renewing your mind, guarding your thoughts. If you don't manage your mind, who's gonna? You know, there are some days I want to get discouraged. No, 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 I don't want to get discouraged. That's the thing. There are some days discouragement wants to come, but usually it, where I work, people are, hey, how you doing today? I says, I don't ask myself that anymore. I says, think about it. How are you doing? Let me check. How do I feel? Thinking. Hey, am I sad? How's my relationship with my wife? How's my relationship with my kids? How's my relationship with the rest of the family? How's my bank finances? That's too much work. So I like what Smith Wigglesworth used to say. I don't ask myself how I am. I tell myself. So I always say, I'm awesome. You're awesome. Yeah, and I'm going to let it build from there. And at the end of the day, if everything tanks, I still got awesome going for me. So it's all good. So don't ask yourself how you are. The Word of God tells you how you are. That's mind management. Most demonic things that I've had to deal with over the years had to do with people's minds and weakness of minds and everything else like this. The devil does not like a Christian who knows where they are and they're strong about it in their mind. So, mind management. So in searching your potential, do not consider your failures as a scale to your potential in life, as these require setbacks for your setup. No need, you need not be, these are setbacks to your setup. They need not define you nor confine you if you learn to manage your mind, to see them for what they really are. C, there can be no, oh, I like this one. There can be no withdrawals without the first being a deposit. We're talking about reaching your potential. It doesn't work at a bank, and it doesn't work with respect to you reaching your potential either. If you're not willing to spend time in the gym hitting the weights, then you can't expect to display your potential on game day. If you're not willing to invest in others, who's going to invest in you? Ooh. You see, that's why I'm going to say there's times where things are tight. But you've seen, because this ministry is invested in others, God sends somebody by when the time is right to invest here. It's just that sowing and reaping principle. If you're not willing to take time to begin to understand how to maximize your potential, how are you going to reach and operate at your potential before this fleeting life is over? You have to give yourself to understanding, how am I going to live in my potential? You know, I heard a saying one time, I don't know if it's true, somebody was talking about they went to heaven and they were shown a bunch of a bookshelf full of library books, and they said, well, what's that? They said, well, that's your life. And they said, wow, that's pretty good. And he says, well, he opens up a door and there's a huge library, and he says, well, this is what the Lord really had in mind for you. I don't want to be that guy to not live in my potential. And there are many, many points to potential to hear and to consider, but there's also more to say in this matter of what really is potential. If we're not going to get a correct understanding of what potential really is, then we probably are not going to be able to start maximizing that dormant potential that's been residing within us and tormenting us from time to time, because we know it's there and we just can't get that expression out. You ever been tormented with that? I know there's more there, but it's just not coming out. And it, you know, what happens is people need coaching. Here's something you're going to need to understand. You're never going to reach your potential all by yourself. Timothy had Paul. The disciples had Jesus. All of us had mom and dad. Somebody was significant in our life towards helping us reach our potential. And you're significant to somebody's life to help them reach their potential. See, now it's your turn. Your parents put into you. Now you're putting into your children. And someday they'll put into their children. We're either always having someone put into us. And, you know, here's the thing. Don't become like the Dead Sea. Let it get through you, and then it'll get to you, too, as well. So, as far as potential goes, what is it? What do we need to properly think about when we hear or think about this subject in our lives, our business, our organization, our churches? In reality, every aspect of our life, because potential has to do with every aspect of our life. And so if I ask three people, what do you think, what does potential mean to you? We'd probably all have some degree of varying answers. Let me give you some thoughts. First of all, potential. There's a thing called potential existence, potential energy, negative potential, magnetic potential. You could go on. Well, all of these have their own context, but interestingly enough, they all carry their own distinct application with respect to you realizing and maximizing your potential. What truly exists within us? Potential existence. What is your potential existence? What positive, creative energy will be released once you and we start maximizing our individual and organizational potential together? We're seeing that already with people using their giftings and their callings and their things. You do wonderful in the praise and worship. I can't do that. I can sing, but then it's usually requested with me to stop. So, you know, the thing is, you know, we all have our giftings and so on. And then what negative potential have we allowed in our lives, in our organizations? There's negative potential. And you know what? Some of those people you just need to cut off out of your life. You say, well, they're relatives, all the more reason, you know. But the thing is, you know, Jesus, his own relatives, thought he was nuts, you know. So, and also, then there's magnetic potential. When you start walking in your potential, things are attracted to you. Favor starts to come in certain directions. People start coming into your lives. Opportunities start coming into your life when you say yes to God and you start stepping into that potential. Potential is derived from the root word potent or potency. Well, let's look at the word potent. It describes as wielding a force. Your potential carries a force. Well, what sort of a force? A force to release you in all God has designed you to be. A force to change things. It also means an authority or influence, bringing about a particular result. There are certain results that will only come about in this church when you step up and step in with your potential. Able to produce life. When you start walking in your potential, things start coming alive around you. It means to be strong. You're your strongest point when you're at your highest potential. Having an abundance of some character or quality. You see, we get so caught up when we think about potential, we think about the doing. The doing will never come before the being. Always potential has to do with the person you are, the character, the quality, the being. And then if the being is right, the doing will be right. And that's the hardest part. Because what'll happen is God will come around and he'll deal with us about a certain thing. We're not ready. Then he'll come around again, and you think, well, where's God? Well, he's just waiting for you to get ready, and when you're miserable enough, then he comes around. You know, a lot of times when you're dissatisfied with something, that's a sign change is about to take place in your life. A divine satisfaction. Dissatisfaction. You know, it's funny. High octane, enriched, significant, high level, competent, effective, productive. Anybody want to be productive, effective, fruitful? Then we're going to have to walk on our potential. Producing or capable of producing a desired result. We get frustrated sometimes because we don't get the results we want. Why? Because we're not at the place of potential to produce those results. So we grow. And that sometimes takes time. But what's the antonyms of this? The opposite. It means to be diluted, weak or weakened, thin, delicate, insignificant, little, fruitless, and ineffective. Doesn't sound like the Church of Jesus Christ. Doesn't sound like the way I want to live my life. Other related phrases used to try to identify or describe potential. What is possible? When we're talking about potential, we're thinking about what is possible for your life. And for us as a group, what's possible? What may be? Something that's undeveloped. So it's not quite there yet, but it's in development. Unmanifested, unrealized. Thinkability or thinkable. If you can imagine it, you can do it. What can you think? Why do you get that thought? Like, for example, if you were to say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do today? He might say, I might think of something. Oh, I think the Lord wants me to do this. You might think of something, Lord. Why is that? Because what you thought was not probable to me, but what I thought wasn't probable to you because it was your thoughts with God. And so we've got to realize that whatever we can think of, if we ask God, God, show me, and then he shows you, what are you going to do with it? Well, God showed me. That's great. Hey, guess what? I was praying about what God would have me do, and he showed me. Well, have you done it? No. I just prayed he'd show me. Well, that does no good. Okay. So I like this. Sleeping. Has the church been sleeping? Have you been sleeping? Stop sleeping right now. Okay. Imaginable. Conceivable. Imperative. Oh, my Lord. Look at this. Future. Your potential is your future. But then if you look, that last word talks about it's conditional. You can decide to go for it or not. You can decide when you want to quit. You can decide how far you want to press in. And here's the beautiful thing I found about God. Sometimes when you say, I just can't go on anymore, you know, it's just too painful right now. I'm just stopping here. He doesn't throw you to the side. He just stands there and says, okay, I'll wait here with you. When you're ready, we'll move on again. You know that there's more, but you just can't bear it right now. In fact, give me some of that. Won't be so heavy. And then it takes faith to say, okay, Lord, I still hurt. I gave this to you, but it still hurts. So I thought if I gave it to you, it's not supposed to hurt anymore. No, that would be a miracle. You're going through a healing. That takes time. Doesn't mean the Lord doesn't have it. It's like when that darn cat of ours climbs up on me. Once he goes, I still smell like a cat. He's gone, but I still smell like the cat. It takes a while for that smell to go. I'm happy when that happens. I'll be sure. Anybody want a cat? Anyway, he's black. He's not bad. He's okay. Black cats matter. But anyway, there it goes on. So, well, let's look at some other things. There is another word seldom used today because it unfortunately has been seldom considered, and that's the word potentiality. Anybody ever heard the word potentiality? It almost sounds like something sort of made up, right? But there's that old song about your potentiality. It's an old song. People don't sing that anymore. I wonder why. But in considering that word potentiality in light of the study of potential and being an educator within both the secular and within the sacred, I've determined that a whole university should be constructed in order to educate and assist both individuals and organizations alike with respect to the principles and disciplines involved in maximizing their potential. Thus, in pursuit of this noble quest, I've decided I'm going to found and inviting you to attend the Online Institute of Higher Education and Lifelong Achievements known as Potentiality. So what is that? What I'm going to start to do is I asked the Lord, and I felt like it's what he wants. So it's maximized potential for individuals and organizations. So eventually, we're going to work with the Bible school and get things going here, but one of the things I want to focus on is helping individuals, pastors, churches, businesses reach their potential in Christ. And one of the things, and what I'm looking for what happened to my notes, and there's actually two of them. Well, I want to give you this. That said, Sunday message. You know, I like the old-fashioned notes sometimes instead of computers, but be that as it may. Hold on. Scroll up here. Is it here? Yes, Jesus, thank you. Okay. So, okay, in this potentiality, online school of potential, Christians, non-Christians, secular, non-secular. You know, really, when you think about it, these motivational speakers and all that, they're just using biblical truths. They just call them something different, and everybody thinks they're genius. You know? It was funny. We were talking to a waitress the other day, and she says, you know, you should be a motivational speaker. And Diane and I looked at each other and just sort of chuckled, you know? But potentiality, here's some subject headings. Wouldn't you like to know potentiality? What is it? We sort of talked about that a little bit today. But what's some ingredients to potential? The practicalities of potential, mind management, and personal potential. The importance of failure to potential, overcoming fear and releasing your potential. That's huge. A lot of people are afraid of failure, but you know what? More people are afraid of success. Because if you fail, nothing changes. But if you start to succeed, the treadmill gets turned up and things start changing in your life, and it's not the comfort zone anymore. So you have to learn how to overcome fear and release your potential. Daily affirmations for potential. My wife is awesome at daily affirmations. But you know that you need to realize, that's true, isn't it, Lord? The Lord spoke to me the other day. Remember the old King Midas thing? Like whatever he touched would turn to gold? It's an old fable type thing. So, you know, if you touch the chair, it turns to gold. You pat your kid on the back, they turn to gold. Oh, you know. What if our words were like that? Everything we spoke, what if everything we spoke happened? And yet, you know, and I'm guilty with this too, because sometimes I just let my tongue go, you know, and then I go, holy mackerel, what am I doing? You know, but it takes discipline. So we have to realize, the Bible says, and Pastor touched on it, we've been made under God kings and priests, and the Bible says where the word of a king is, there's power. So we can create and release potential in our lives. I hope when you wake up every day, you are praying for favor. Lord, I thank you for favor, those in godly authority over me. I thank you, Lord, that doors open for me that do not open for others. I thank you, Lord, according to the covenant you have with Abraham, I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. I'm the head, not the tail. Everything I put my hand to prospers, and every place my foot treads, thou hast given me. It's hard to go to work discouraged like that. And then learn to live in expectancy, which is the attitude of faith. That's worth $1 million right there. Expectancy is the attitude of faith. So we got to learn to live that way. After you pray, stop praying and start praising and thanking the Lord. Okay, inspirational quotes on potential, they're there. Understanding purpose before potential. How do you know your purpose? Daily discussions, you've probably read them all there. Did we go through them already? No, we're on 10. Okay, passion fuels potential, innovation and potential, partnering for potential. Like I said, we need to partner. There's people that are going to come into this ministry, other pastors from other countries because they realize they're not going to reach the potential unless they hook up with what's going on here, the anointing that's in this house, the giftings that are in this house, through meeting you and you and you. Partnering for potential. Are there potential robbers? Absolutely. Need to get rid of them. Charting a course to your potential. Preparing for your potential. How about funding your potential? Would you like to know about that? Potential and problem solving. See, problems give you an opportunity to discover further potential. And innovation. Potential's need for organization and time management. If you haven't learned to organize your life and manage your time, you're going to have a hard time reaching your potential. You won't have time for it. Understanding people, personalities, and potential. We got to work with people. See, here's what I've noticed really is sad. People go to Bible school, seminary, whatever it is. They learn the Word of God. The young man, young lady, they come into the pulpit. Hey, they preach the Word of God. And it's like, nobody's behind me. So they go and they pray more and they study more and they come back. And they just somehow offend everybody. But they don't understand people. They don't understand the different personality types, so they try to teach everybody the same. And that's one of the things that really should be taught in most seminaries and Bible schools and just about everywhere. You need to get an understanding of the different personalities of people because you're going to interact with people. So it's worth it to understand what makes people tick, because if you're going to reach your potential, they're going to be there to help you, but you got to understand who you're working with. I had one supervisor who was very flowery in words, and so you gotta just write something nice. And then I write to this other one, and she's like, what's your ask? And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot who I was writing to. You're pretty point blank, and I'm asking you to fix this. Oh, okay. You know, so you can't treat everybody the same and work with them that way. What are we on now? You've already read up to that. Perfect. 29, potential, progress over perfection. I am not a perfectionist as long as it's done right. I'll let you think in that. I don't get anything done sometimes. So I've learned, as long as it's progress, it may not be hung right, but it's hung. We'll fix it later and move on to the next thing. And after a while, nobody cares it's off a little bit, but at least, you know, we get paralyzed. If we don't think we can do it perfect, we don't want to do it. That's terrible. No. Don't get me wrong, I don't believe in sloppy agape and just throw it in there. Do your best. But you know, my daughter, she works for the government of Canada. She goes, Dad, it's so hard because she has to understand all these laws and everything. I said, it's okay, sweetie. It won't get easier. Dad, that doesn't help. No, here's the good news. You'll get better. You'll get better and it'll seem easier. So sometimes you want God, oh God, he's just saying, hey, hang in there. You're going to get better. You'll get stronger. Oh, you've already read up to there. Good. So lastly, assessing the market potential of a business startup and potential in navigating changes. So basically, I want to leave you with these words. I thank you for your patience and your time. Don't be afraid to believe in your dreams. Get this, because it's not your dream. It's God's dream for you. Don't be afraid to believe in your dream, because it's not your dream. It's God's dream for you. How am I going to fund it? If it's not your dream, you don't have to worry about it. If it's God's dream, he'll fund it. Oh, I remember I spoke with one of the men from the church here. And you know, we sometimes as men, we get a little concerned about providing for our household. You know, there's a lot on our shoulders sometimes. We probably shouldn't take on as much as we should, but we do sometimes. And, you know, I mean, we don't worry, but we sure step out of faith a lot. And so I said to this person, because I realized this, I said, you know, you can only provide for your family as God provides for you. So is it really on you to provide for your family, or is it on God to provide for you? Well, it's a little of both. You do what you can, but ultimately God gives you the strength to get out there. He gives you the power to get and to keep wealth. But, you know, it really takes the pressure off when you got a bunch of family members and they all want a little piece of you and there's only a little piece left. And you turn around and you say, well, God, I can only provide for them, not just finances. as you provide for me. Then let every man minister according to the grace that's given him. You find more grace and a deeper love and a strength, and you get through the day, and God just turned it up because you needed him to. So you were able to provide for them as God provided for you. Three quick thoughts. When you catch a glimpse of your potential, that is when the spark of passion will be ignited. When you get a glimpse of your potential, that's when the spark of passion will be ignited, or maybe in some reignited. Please listen to this one. Pain and reflection equal progress. I just want to reflect. No, sometimes. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience. Jesus had to learn obedience? The Bible says he learned obedience through the things he suffered. Come on, that's Jesus. Well, what did he say just before going to the cross? If this cup can pass from me, but nevertheless thy will, not mine. Did it sound like he wanted that cup? No. Sometimes we don't want things that come into our life, but if we'll just, but nevertheless thy will be done, we'll get resurrected as a result of it. Attitude. I said to one manager at work, I said, you know, you guys hire for aptitude and you're doing it backwards. You should hire for attitude and train for aptitude, because you can teach just about anybody aptitude, but everybody, you got to bring attitude. So there's something inside of you, on the inside of you, that's been uniquely given to you. And it's yours to take to the grave, or it's yours to bring to life. It's up to you. So potentiality is going to, I believe, be a premier online innovative education institution. See, I'm prophesying. Designed to assist individuals and organizations such as yourself to maximize their truest and highest potential. So you owe it to yourself and you owe it to the world to be all that you can be in order to accomplish all that you were called and destined to do. I believe in you, but more so, God believes in you. Have you ever heard the term, have faith in God? Well, there's another part to that. It says, because he has faith in you. Let's stand. Pastor, thank you very much. As always, I was over, but I want to stay consistent. Thank you.
Thank you, man of God. All right. Well, now that's a head full. Thank you so very much, David. That was just fantastic. Lots of seeds. If you start putting that seed in the ground, where we'd have plenty. You know, I was thinking about David as he was sharing. I got up this morning. Of course, I've during this time, you kind of fight different. Well, you don't kind of fight things. You fight things that you're not enjoying in any way, shape, or form. And then, of course, then you look at the age factor, and then. Something else comes and starts talking to you, you know, saying, well, how long is this going to be, you know? And then, of course, you go back and you look at your relatives, and I just loved what was shared today. And we would take that, apply that to our lives, continue to apply it to our lives, and then encourage each other to apply it to each other. Because I think that's the real important part is, the potential. You know, I was listening to David. I said, well, you know, the Bible says that we are perfected by apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then if you looked at the body here as a church or the body of Christ, it's we are perfected by apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. That's called apostolic church government. And so inside the church, you know, as that seed, I was looking inside the church, if you plant that inside the church, then pretty soon the church becomes apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. I really feel like that's what we heard today, the potential of each one of us to come into all of the things that God's called us to do is there. And then if we can potentially take that potential and then pass it on to others. Now, David, as what he was sharing, I'm going, well, you know, I don't think I can share it like that. I don't have to. He just shared it like that. And all I'm going is, I said, if I can do my part to do that, and we got 66 reserves. I was talking with Marcel, and it's, I'm always into numbers of how can we start a church? How can we affect a nation? How, you know, and I, in God's River, there's 565 reserves in Canada. And you could go to them if you wanted to. And they would send you to reserve, to reserve, to reserve, to reserve. And if you had the potential to do something that they need, they have to have it. If they don't get it, it's death to our brothers and sisters in Indian population in Canada. Now, not even talking about here in the United States. So the potential that we have is so powerful, but we have to put that thing together and work at what we heard today. Amen. So I just really encourage you in that. That was so encouraging, man. That was like, where in the world? Love it. Amen. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for each person in this room, Lord. What we heard today was life-changing, earth-shaking. Probably the strongest thing, Lord, that you could give us is we heard today, and we ask, Lord, that this will go out through the highways and the byways and through the radio waves and whatever wave that it's going to fly on and change people's lives. Because if you took it and you applied it, it'll literally change every person's life, not only your own, but every person that you run into. We thank you and we praise you for this now. Let's just raise our hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Contact point right now. We raise our hands for the potential that you have for us now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great, great week in Jesus, and enjoy the snow tomorrow.
All right.